Two trucks having sex. Two trucks having sex. My muscles involuntarily flex. Two trucks having sex. Two trucks having sex. My muscles involuntarily flex. Two pickup trucks making love. American
Listen up, Auto Thoughts and Decepticons. You're listening to Prime Cuts, a nonlinear history of the Transformers franchise on television. I'm one of your hosts, Audrey.
I'm your other host, Nero.
And what? We got a couple of good episodes this week because it's Earthspark and it's a two-parter, so you know it's going to bang.
Why does hashtag Malto, the physically largest of the Maltos, not simply defeat all of the other ones?
I would just keep it with E, honestly. Why does she not simply eat Twitch?
She could do it. Yeah, we watched Home Part 1 and 2, which ironically takes place away from home entirely, because it's fucking Philadelphia, baby.
Yeah. Not to be spoilers, but it turns out that Home was the siblings we made along the way.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of Batman references in this
Nightshade
episode.
Does become Batman, briefly.
Brawl also breaks the bee.
Oh yeah, he does do Nightbreaker. Wow.
Yeah,
Brawl... Yeah, by the way, we have a very brief appearance by Earthspark Brawl.
Who will come back later in the next episode, kind of. That was a hard one.
Poor guy. He didn't even get any... He didn't get any lines, and then he got sucked off by Mandroid.
Yeah.
We should just get right into it, because holy shit, a lot of things happen in this two-parter.
Okay, so Home starts off with...
Cold open
with Bumblebee versus Brawl.
Bumblebee is in the fucking arena. He's in the gulag waiting to respawn in fucking Warzone.
A debatably legal underground wrestling ring.
Yeah, it doesn't seem... We'll learn a little bit more about this whole situation, but no matter which way you cut it, it seems fucked.
Yeah. And it focuses mostly on the fight between Bumblebee and Brawl. From close-up, like I said, Brawl does break the bee, a la Bane and Batman. But then it, kind of zooms out, and everyone who's watching is a human, and it sucks, dude.
Yeah,
this sucks so bad.
This is fucking robot cockfights. Bumblebee... So also, the other thing about this is that this is a no-weapons, no-guns fight club. You can't use any of your fancy built-in weaponry. One notable, in my opinion, cheating exception that we will see later. All I'm going to say is that
He can't turn it off.
There's a very big champion's advantage in this whole situation.
He just does that. He's just like that.
But yeah, Bumblebee...
Listen, he's indigestion. Leave him alone.
He's got a really bad case of indigestion, and it's been going on for a long time.
This cold open eventually ends, well, it ends right after we see the human reveal, but the actual scene ends with Bumblebee finally defeating Brawl.
The big
and
boy.
Brawl's body being taken by mechanical arms.
The way he fucking defeats him, by the way, he does a fucking wrestling move where but it's an unsafe one where he drops Brawl on his head on purpose. It was pretty sick looking, but yeah, Brawl's unconscious body just gets dragged into the ceiling. That's fine. Nothing weird's going on up there, I'm sure.
Yeah, they're bringing him to the resting zone, definitely.
And then the episode lies to us, because I'm pretty sure this never happened, because it literally can't have happened. Going by what we see later, which is we see Bumblebee's next opponent walk out, and it's a very familiar looking silhouette, except later he expresses surprise that this character is present. So this could not have happened.
Well, no, it simply wasn't that character. They fooled you. You were incorrect.
This is fucking Grimlock's cousin.
Trick. Grimlock's trick. That's right.
Just it's my me Grimlock have twin brother.
Listen, they never said, who's to say Wheeljack didn't make more of those motherfuckers?
Simple brains.
Mass produce them.
So we get the intro, and then we cut to the Maltos here.
The Malto children specifically.
Yeah, they have, okay, so they have, the parents are asleep, so they have snuck out of the house, and they are going to fucking live it up in the big city. They're in Philadelphia, baby.
Yeah.
City of brotherly love.
This is really interesting because we get to see how, like, normal people react to Transformers, and it turns out, like, not at all.
It's, yeah, they're basically just a normal fact of life. Some people might complain about them or whatever, but, like, they're here. They're around. You're gonna see one from time to time.
I feel like this is, like, kind of, like, a big city sort of thing.
Yeah.
Right? Like, my guess is that there are probably more, like, out former Autobots in particular, who are, like, working in some capacity in, like, major cities and have therefore become, like, less of a thing. I think it's probably, like, similar to, like, superheroes in comics, right?
Yeah, like, where you live, like, in fuck-ass nowhere, you're not gonna see Superman, unless you live in Smallville, I guess, but that's,
right,
that's
like,
different.
If you live in, like, fucking Iowa or whatever, like, and you see Wolverine, then you're gonna be like, holy shit, that's Wolverine. If you live in Westchester,
holy shit, what's that short hairy Canadian doing here? This is Iowa.
Yeah. If you live in Westchester, where Xavier's Academy is, then you're probably not going to blink twice at seeing X-Men in uniform.
Yeah.
Walking through. That would be my guess for the world, because no one looks like at them twice. And there's even, I think it's Nightshade. It's either Nightshade or Jawbreaker, I think, who asks, you know, Mo and Robbie are like, all right, we're here, we're in the city, let's go have fun. And one of the Terrans, the new Terrans, asks, so we can, like, be ourselves?
Yep.
And they're like, yep, go crazy.
So they pair off with the buddy system.
Nightshade leaves.
Yeah, Nightshade just leaves.
As per usual, Nightshade is off doing their own shit.
Nightshade leaves. Mo goes to hang out with Thrash and Jawbreaker, while Robbie hangs with Hashtag and Twitch. And we really get a beautiful tapestry of experiences that everyone has here. So let's start with the nice one. Let's start with the nice one that happens. Nightshade
immediately goes to vigilante justice.
Nightshade becomes non-binary Batman.
Yeah.
And saves someone from getting mugged. And then learns, and then the person that they saved is also non-binary, and tells them what being non-binary is, and they go, "Wow, I finally have a word for that. That feels so nice." And that's,
I
want to
talk about
whole night.
Yeah, I want to talk about that a little bit more later on when they actually have that conversation. But this person that they're saving, they are about to be. She uses she/they pronouns. like, mugged in an alleyway. Mm-hmm. And Nightshade literally just, like, swoops down. And, like, they transform to root mode. And you see, it's interesting because their eyes are glowing red at this point.
Yeah, they have,
which,
like,
which is not their normal color eyes. Their eyes are green.
They have, like, they literally have, like, a Batman head mode.
Yeah.
Where they have, like, a mask.
They have, like, this scarf. It looks like a scarf that comes up to cover, like, the bottom half of their face, like a ski mask kind of thing. But then it just retracts into them. So interesting. Anyway, they stand up, they're, like, you know, very imposing, and the robber runs off. Or no, the robber, like, gets scared but doesn't run off. And then rather than, like, trying to chase off the robber, they decide that the best way to resolve the situation is to transform back into an owl, snatch this person up, and bring her to a rooftop.
They don't.
And we will see more of them later.
They don't know what Batman is yet. They don't have the whole process down.
Yeah, unlike hashtag, they haven't gone through all of media ever recorded yet.
They only watched the first scene of the Tim Burton Batman movie. They didn't see how that scene actually ends. They just like watched the beginning of it. It's like, that's cool. But yeah, so that's the meanwhile, Mo, Thrash, and Jawbreaker are, you know, jamming around. And then some lady comes up and says, hey, you guys want to watch some wrestling? And they go, fuck yeah.
Yeah, these three notoriously love wrestling, and the lady is like, we have, like, the best robot brawl around is just, you know, over this way. Here we have, like, another former Autobot wrestling, and they're like, hell yeah, let's go.
Yeah, they, this lady does not, obviously doesn't tell them that it is not, exactly... You know, this ain't Lucha Underground. This ain't like an indie wrestling scene. This is a pit fight.
Well, I mean, again, it is hard to tell the legality of this.
I don't think it is legal. I don't know if it's illegal, I guess.
It is hard for me to call it. I mean, certainly they are put, like, the Transformers who are fighting are put into it against their will. But the question of legality is whether or not they are seen as people with rights.
My
and
guess,
I'm not sure. Listen, it's morally wrong for sure.
Yeah, my guess is that they are not.
Yeah. I am like 75% sure that they are not, but there is still like 25, like a quarter of me that thinks, based on what we see at the end of these episodes, that they could be.
Oh yeah, it's hard to say.
Yeah,
judging by who is running it currently, it's definitely not legal though, as we'll get to in a moment here. But they, you know, they get fooled into signing up for this pit fight. Specifically, Jawbreaker does. And then yeah, we'll have to check back in with them to see who is their opponent gonna be. Watch out. Twitch hashtag and Robbie,
they either skate or they die.
Yeah, so they do some skating. Robbie runs into one of his old pals,
Stevie. This is a character named Stevie, who's cute until he does a microaggression.
He's a little bit racist, but he learns, unlike some people.
There is an interesting thing here. So they meet at a skate park. Right. Yeah. And, you know, Robbie says, hey, Stevie, like, good to see you. It's like, what's up? Like, I haven't heard from, like, wow, like, you've gotten so better. And, you know, Stevie's like razzing on him a little bit, being like, yeah, well, you would if you ever texted back. And he's like, yeah, you know, like, things in bumfuck Pennsylvania are, you know, hard to get a signal sometimes.
I don't got Wi-Fi down there.
Yeah. He's like, anyway. And he like gestures over to Twitch and hashtag, these are my sisters. And there's like a moment where Stevie, like, doesn't say anything, and he's like, cool. And hashtag and Twitch, who had both seen him, he does say, you know, make a nice gesture towards him, where he's like, you know, I'd offer you a board, but I don't have one that's your size. And Twitch and hashtag are like, don't worry about it. Hashtag transforms her feet into wheels and starts doing like sick tricks. And Twitch just fully transforms into a drone and sort of like floats doing tricks.
Is hoverboards cheating on the skate park? Is that allowed?
Absolutely. 100%. Though to be fair, she does fully grind herself on rails later on. So.
That's true.
But... you know, they're, you know, Robbie and Stevie are watching them for a little bit, and Stevie says, it's like, so, like, you know, your Transformers are different than the other ones. And Robbie says, they're not my Transformers.
Yeah.
And Stevie's like, oh, you know, I didn't mean it like that. Of course, I didn't mean it like that. And you know, Robbie's like, good, because they're my family. And Stevie's like, uh-huh. Like, you can see that Stevie's getting like, why are you getting so intense about this? And like he finally looks, he's like, yeah, sure, but they're not like us, they're not human. And there's like this moment of hesitation on Robbie's face where like this is very clearly the first time he's been confronted with the idea that no matter how much he loves his siblings, they aren't the same as him.
Yeah.
Which I think is important to understand. It doesn't make them any less his family, but like, I feel like there's like this almost willful ignorance on like Mo and Robbie's part that there's anything abnormal about their family. and this is like the first time that like Robbie's actually had to confront that.
Yeah, I like this. And then of course there's the scene right. moves and on. Hashtag
that hashtag experiences fucking, microaggression.
Yeah, first she completely fucking beefs it.
Yes.
Off a ramp. And then she sees some fucking graffiti on the overpass above the skate park here. It just says Transformers go home. And you know, hashtag's like, well, what the fuck? We are home. And Stevie says, oh, well, you know, they probably just mean Decepticons.
Yeah, I'm sure they were just talking about Decepticons, so you shouldn't even, like, worry about it.
And Twitch is like, well, if they meant that, they should have fucking said it, huh?
Yeah.
And
Stevie's like, yeah, well, you know. And Twitch is like, just because they didn't say it that way doesn't make it okay. And Stevie's like, well, it wasn't okay for Transformers to invade Earth.
Yeah.
And Robbie's like, okay, we're done.
Yeah, it's like, all right, bye, man. Fucking fun catching up, I guess. Later.
So we cut back to Nightshade with their new friend, who is screaming, let me down, let me down, let me go, let me down.
Yeah, they have just been abducted by a giant robotic owl.
So they let her down, and do you remember what their name is?
Sam.
Sam, right. So Sam introduces herself and says, I'm sorry for my reaction. It's hard to know who is safe these days. I will say, to be fair, if I was abducted by a strange giant owl robot without any context, I would react the same way. I don't think that's their fault. But Nightshade looks down at her bag, and they have a pin that says she, they. And Nightshade goes, oh. Sam introduces herself and says, my pronouns are she, they, but you obviously know that. And Nightshade goes, I'm Nightshade, and my pronouns are they, them. And Sam continues talking about, like, not knowing who's safe, but then says, you know, it was always much more comfortable to be around someone who's non-binary. This is a very well-known scene, by the way. This scene, like, went around. I would say this is the second most well-known scene from the series. After the Megatron, Optimus, Nova Storm, Skywarp fight,
right?
But at the end of it, they're sitting together, overlooking the city, and Nightshade asks what non-binary is, and Sam explains, and Nightshade says, "What a wonderful word for a wonderful experience."
Wow, I love you, Nightshade. So, all right, let's tie it up real quick. Nightshade had like a beautiful experience learning how to you know more about how they feel about their gender identity and meeting someone else who shares some of those feelings. Twitch and hashtag experience microaggressions. How are Jawbreaker and Thrash doing?
Jawbreaker gets kidnapped and sold into fighting.
Luckily, the guy he has to fight is Bumblebee, who's like, what the fuck? What are you doing here?
Oh, I do want to say one other line that we skipped over because it comes back in a very fun way later, which is before they meet this like promoter for the wrestling show, Mo brings Thrash and Jawbreaker over to one of the vents in the subway. Yes. And she waits for her subway to pass, and she goes, this is my favorite part. I'm riding the wind. Yeah. And Jawbreaker goes, I'm riding the subway.
Yeah, he does. Boy, he does sure ride that subway later.
He sure does ride that subway later. But yes, for the moment, he's in the danger zone.
But thankfully, actually not, because it's Bumblebee. Yeah. Who's like, yo, what the fuck are you doing here? And Jawbreaker's like, I don't know, man. They said we asked, some lady asked if we wanted to watch some wrestling, and then they put me in here. And Bumblebee's like, okay, don't worry. I'm undercover. I'm fine, but I'm looking for someone. But you shouldn't fight me because the losers get sold for scrap.
Does he know that yet?
I don't know. I don't remember if he knows that or not.
No, he's just like, you know, you like, don't fight me, but you have to like pretend because otherwise it'll blow my cover. Like, obviously I'm not going to hurt you.
They do actual pro wrestling. They do like, you want to do some wrestling? They do the stuff.
We also do get introduced to our MCs for this show.
Good God. Okay.
Frenzy is back. She's here. And she's joined by her co-host, Laserbeak, who is possessed by the spirit of Triple H.
Laserbeak talks like this. Laserbeak, at first I thought this was Buzzsaw, because I didn't see the coloration on the back.
Yeah.
Which I do think would be more fitting. But yeah, I did not. If you asked, what do you think Laserbeak would sound like when he talked? It's not this.
It's kind of awful.
Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Yeah. It's kind of awful and also kind of wonderful.
It would have been perfect if it was just Buzzsaw, because this is what Buzzsaw sounds like. That guy's a fucking dirtbag. But it's very funny watching Laserbeak talk. It's so rare.
Yeah,
happens.
Hearing this voice come out of this robot bird is very bad.
It's like, remember that joke in fucking Punk Hazard when in One Piece when Law switch everybody's bodies and Franky gets put in Chopper's body and keeps making all of his fucked up faces while in Chopper's body? And Robin says, you never do that shit again. Never, ever. Never,
we're
ever
so,
do that shit.
We're so Chopper's over body. If you do this to my special boy.
Yeah, never. That shit cannot happen anymore. Yeah, so there. Okay, so this is the first inkling that, like, what the hell's going on down here? We have some Decepticons in on the shit, right? In on the grift. And yeah, they do, like, they do a pro wrestling match. They do some chops, they do some sells and all that stuff, and Bumblebee pins Jawbreaker for the three count.
Yeah, does a fake elbow drop.
Yeah, he does. He literally does a people's elbow.
Yeah, Laserbeak and Frenzy are very sorely disappointed by this. Frenzy in particular is like, he's still in One Piece. What the fuck?
I wanted blood. But you know, for your prize for winning this fight is you get to fight the champ, who is Grimlock. Grimlock is the champion.
Well, Grimlock is, and of course this is always true, but he's so fucking big.
He's fucking huge. He's big. And they literally just do the scene from Thor Ragnarok, by the way, where Bumblebee's like, oh shit, I know that guy. Hey Grimlock, what's up? And then Grimlock beats the shit out of him.
Yeah.
Because, as we learn here, the person who is, and you glimpse them a little bit earlier. There's like, if you look closely, you can see the person running the bot brawl.
Yeah.
Like up in the rafters.
Frenzy makes a comment when Bumblebee, when Jawbreaker gets away based from the fight, like scot free. Basically, she looks up at the rafters and she's like, "That's not gonna make Boss Man happy."
And who might Boss Man be, you ask? Well, it's fucking Mandroid. He's back.
It's kind of hot this time.
What? you like sickly, dying, like, Energon poison, Energon deficient Mandroid?
I think I...
With the 5 o'clock shadow?
Yeah, I think I enjoy his, like, clear descent into madness.
Oh,
I think that's kind of hot.
He's normal in this first episode, and then he attaches another Cyber Shreddian arm to himself, and he immediately becomes a freak.
Yeah, less hot in this episode. I really like. I think the descent into madness is doing great things for him.
So, but yeah, he's like, we basically just see him going, man, I love how much fucking spare parts I have access to due to my death fights that I'm running. And we see just, fucking Brawl strung up.
He is literally, it's not just Brawl. Like,
yeah, it's a lot of people.
It's, you just see, like, limbs hanging from the ceiling. It is, like, incredibly grim. There's a lot of shit in this, in these episodes, particularly the next one regarding Brawl, where I'm, like, shocked that they were able to get as much of it through as they did. Because it is, like, it is bad and it is explicit.
Yeah. So, Grimlock, meanwhile, is just fucking kicking Bumblebee's ass. He, you know, he seemingly has no idea who Bumblebee is. He's basically gone feral, is what is implied. However,
it's not just implied. Bumblebee straight up says it.
Yeah, and also Mo, I believe, is the one who spots something on Grimlock's chin, which is a big purple badge that is mind controlling him. So they gotta work together to try and, like, hit his fucking Zelda weak spot here. This is harder than it sounds, because he's a rampaging Tyrannosaurus Rex who, by the way, breathes fire.
Thrash does a very funny thing here. Yes. Where Mo points out this thing on Grimlock's chin, and Thrash is like, yeah, I got this. And he, like, transforms, and he takes one of his tires, and he throws it like a discus, and it just, like, bounces off of Grimlock's snout.
Mm-hmm.
Completely useless.
And Thrash goes, well, fuck. But the second time around, he does get it. He does knock the thing off.
We should mention as well that the reason that Jawbreaker and Thrash get involved is because in the process of not recognizing Bumblebee, Grimlock clamps down on Bumblebee's arm and throws him to the side. And for the first time, one of these things has realistic consequences. Bumblebee's arm is janked.
Yeah, it's all fucked up. So Mo, Thrash, and Jawbreaker decide that it is now a tag team match. They all fight Grimlock. They free him from Mandroid's control. However, he's still fucking pissed off.
So, you know, Grimlock in every other series, famous for his patience and generosity of spirit and passivity and, you know, pacifism.
As soon as he gets freed from Mandroid's control, he literally just starts blowing up the entire arena.
Including almost killing many humans.
Oh yeah, he is literally shooting at the humans. He does not care for these fucking meat bags.
I mean, neither do I.
Watching him fight. At some point, Frenzy, the fucking subway car that Frenzy and Laserbeak are commentating from, gets thrown at Grimlock, I believe.
So, yeah, first what happens is, that is when Jawbreaker rides the subway.
No, he rides the subway later.
Oh, really?
Yes.
It's not much later.
No, it's in the second episode. Because there's a much larger subway adjacent action.
No, sequence. It's in this one.
Oh, does he say it in this one?
Yeah, it's in this one.
Yeah, he rides the subway and crashes and that Laserbeak and Frenzy just fuck off. Like, all right, time to go.
Yeah. Jawbreaker jumps on it. But eventually, like, Grimlock just, like, goes absolutely nuts. And Bumblebee's, like, looking at him and is like, you know what? We'll come back later.
Yeah, he needs to calm down a little bit.
He's like, you know what? We're just going to let him get this out of his system. We'll come back.
As I said on Twitter when I posted the thing, he is the last shot of Grimlock in this episode is literally him doing the end of Jurassic Park. Like, with the sign fluttering down in front of him, roaring skyward and everything. So everyone meets back up where they were supposed to, in front of a famous landmark that I don't know the name of. And everyone's pretty bummed, except for Nightshade, who's like, I had a great time.
Did you know about this word non-binary? That's me!
And everyone's like, that's great, Nightshade, we experienced racism. And Nightshade's like, that sucks. And then
my family,
like,
but where is the rest of them?
And then it's like, yo, what the fuck? Bumblebee is here. And Bumblebee's like, I gotta go back in and save Grimlock. because that's why I'm here. I got to find Grimlock. Is earlier Bumblebee explains that Grimlock was also here undercover, yes. But he fell off the map like a few months ago, and it's obviously because Mandroid mind controlled him.
Yes,
but he's like, yeah, I need backup, but I can't wait for Optimus. I cannot, I can't call him. The channels are still too hot. I don't want Ghost knowing where I am. He's like, all right, Terrans, are you up for your first real Autobot mission? Everyone's really excited. I wonder how this one's going to go. Uh-oh.
I mean, it could have been worse.
It could have been worse. So, home part two. Mandroid Boogaloo.
Yeah, really?
They head back down to the Bot Brawl Arena, and it's just completely deserted now. There's just nothing there.
Yeah, Bumpy's like, okay, good news, Grimlock's not going insane anymore. Bad news, he's also not here. So split up, gang, and look for clues. And Robbie just points to like a puddle of Energon and was like, is that a clue?
And then Bumblebee looks up
to where it's dripping down, and Brawl has been exsanguinated.
He has literally been fucking sucked dry.
It is... We, like, Brawl, they get Brawl down, and it is, like, this is, like, a really hard scene to watch. It goes on for a long time, and you can see how, I think one of the best things that Earthspark does is humanizing all people from all sides.
Yes, because Bumblebee is like, what the fuck? I didn't know this was going to happen to Brawl. Oh my god, I didn't mean for this to happen.
Like, Brawl's still wearing his Decepticon brand, like that has not changed or whatever, but like Bumblebee is devastated by this. He is horrified to see this happen to Brawl, and he's like, I had no idea that this is what happened to those who were defeated here. And it's just like, even if this person was his former enemy in the war, like, he is so devastated by his death. And you know, you see it in other places. You know, we saw it with Breakdown last time.
Yeah.
And you saw fucking Tarantulas of all people, right? That there's not just like good and evil in this version of the Cybertronian Civil War. There are just people.
Yeah, they're just guys. They're just fucking dudes.
Yeah. Really, really human people. And it's, I think it has done this better. Earthspark has done this better than literally any other piece of Transformers media, including the IDW comics.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, something we forgot to mention about the first part of Home. Nova Storm briefly appears in the Bot Brawls. I don't know how she got out of jail. But something I didn't notice that I would like to thank Tiabuki for is that when she gets her ass kicked by Bumblebee, this is the pose that she falls in. I put it in scheduling. She makes the Family Guy death pose.
Oh my god. I didn't notice that at all.
While they're being horrified by, like, oh my god, what the hell drained Brawl of all of his blood, a missile explodes and sets them all in a ring of fire.
Specifically say, like, who could do this? This is a really interesting line. Mo says, who could do this to a living person? And yeah, Bumblebee responds with, someone who doesn't see Transformers as living people.
Yeah, and then he looks down at Brawl's arm and notices that the arm is missing, and he goes, oh, fuck.
And then the room explodes, and then Mandroid comes in.
And my man's is looking rough. So he's got Brawl's rocket launcher arm now. That's his new addition. He's also got 5 o'clock shadow, dark circles, inflamed veins. What else has he got? He's got a lot of shit going on.
I like that he's a mess.
Oh, he's a disaster.
I couldn't fix him. I could make him worse.
His voice is all fucked up now.
There is a moment when he walks into the room where his shadow is projected onto the wall in front of them, and it is huge on the wall, and it's just a really good, like, lighting design choice.
Yep.
To have this you know, I think for a show about giant transforming robots, to have your main antagonist be a single human being, who is much physically smaller, sort of have this larger than life aura around him and be this huge threat, and having those visual cues for him is, like, really good.
So Mandroid reveals himself, and Hashtag is like, you're the one behind all of this. And Mandroid says, and this is interesting, I'm simply the latest fucking scumbag who runs these things. They were really here way before me, and they're going to be going way after I'm gone.
Yeah.
I just moved in.
Twitch, my sweet baby child. I almost got so scared for her.
She's just, look, her mom told her everyone deserves a second chance. She just needed to amend Amendment 1, except for that freak-ass motherfucker Mandroid.
Yeah, so Twitch, who again was one of the two people literally kidnapped by him, let's not forget, walks forward and puts out her arm and says, "It doesn't have to be like this. You can start over. We can forgive you. Like, we can move on from this. We'll give you a second chance." And he's like, "Cool, check this out." And grabs Bumblebee.
Yep. Just fucking gets him. And immediately hooks him up to the fucking robot draining device.
So this is a literal Saw trap, by the way. This is the end of Spiral from the Book of Saw.
So he puts Bumblebee in a Saw trap and then says, "Hey y'all, remember last time when I had that big Nier Automata ass giant mech boss fight? Well, I've got another one for you."
It's interesting that you go to Nier, because I saw this thing and I'm like, this is the subway boss from Darksiders.
Literally, I'm pretty sure you fight something like this in Nier, like a big worm made out of smaller machines.
Oh, well, I just started playing that game this week, so I'll look forward to that.
Yeah, there's some freaks in there. But yeah, like, all of the Arachnamechs combine into a gigantic centipede.
Into Shalud.
Yeah, they the fucking, don't, you know, got you get you.
We're very topical.
Dune 2. Yeah. Dune
it wouldn't
two
work
the
according
movies.
To Neil deGrasse Tyson, which is how you know he has no sense of humor.
God, how is that? He's literally just the fucking biggest, shittiest wet blanket ever.
Really hate that guy.
Oh, actually, worms can't get that big. Shut the fuck up.
Worms up. Don't move. Worms can't move straight forward. Go die.
Space combat wouldn't work how it is in Star Wars. No, really? Is that true? I didn't know that. I thought it was a documentary. Damn, I can't watch Star Wars anymore. That's just not real.
My immersion is ruined. Like, anyway.
Yeah, we get like, so while Bumblebee gets his shit sucked, Saw style, and is completely out of action for the rest of this fight.
That was a really bad phrase, Nero.
What else do you describe what happens to him as? He gets put in a Saw trap and he gets sucked.
Yeah. I guess you did say sucked and not schlocked again, I guess.
So Mandroid literally just leaves after he sets the centipede on them to go upstairs and finish what he was working on.
Which is using... They realize that it is using Bumblebee's energon to power whatever this is.
Yeah, so it's we got a double thing. So Twitch goes up to free Bumblebee from the aforementioned Saw trap. Meanwhile, apparently we live in the world of the smart city, because Hashtag taps into the city Wi-Fi and is able to and becomes the trains. It just starts fucking hit. This is fucking badass the way they get
rid
of this thing.
She's so cool.
So. She literally just starts throwing trains at this thing, like subway trains. And she and Thrash do a fucking combo maneuver where Thrash, guides the centipede into a train tunnel for it to get decapitated by a subway car.
Yeah, and then Hashtag, like, sees that it works. So basically, they're really struggling to fight this thing, and Twitch is like, okay, you know what? This is made of smaller pieces. Combined together, we can separate those pieces again. Mm-hmm. Anything that can come together can be taken apart. And so after doing, like, hashtag hits this thing and, like, a huge chunk of it comes off. And then she's like, cool, 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 cool. There are so many subway trains around here. Watch this. And she just, like, she starts throwing subway trains at this thing. Like, the ending of Gurren Lagann, Simon throwing drills.
Yes.
So, like, she just keeps generating subway trains out of nowhere and throwing them at this thing.
There's just fucking trains everywhere. So yeah, they get rid of this fucking centipede. And I like the bit where, you know, everyone else is like, holy shit, I'm not ready for this fucking crazy boss fight level. But once it's reduced to its component arachnemech pieces, everyone's like, ah, this shit's easy. We can handle this part now. Like, fucking 100 arachnemechs, that's no sweat. And just starts chopping them up.
And once they're all broken down and everyone's taken care of it, hashtag, like, glances up, and she's the one who sees Mandroid, like, working on this thing and almost finishing it, and she's like, fuck this guy, for real. I'm going to kill this guy right now, for real. And she, like, charges up and up to him, and she goes, you're never going to hurt my family again. And he goes, cool, and turns around and slips this thing on her.
Check this shit out.
And she gets a little brainwashed.
She gets creepy blank white eyes. And
that is such a good choice, by the way, to signify this, is these, like, totally blank, like, pure slate white eyes.
Yeah, so everyone is extremely fucked up about this. Mandroid just leaves. He's like, all right, bye. Have fun.
He's literally like, you want to talk about your family? Come back to me when they're in pieces, basically.
Yep. And this is I really like this because, you know, we've talked about how fun it is that hashtag is big, you know, giant iPad baby. This leverages that into being very scary because hashtag is fucking huge.
Yeah, she's big.
She literally can just wreck their shit with no effort.
The thing is, she's very big with it.
Yeah, and so, like, everyone's like, hashtag, are you okay? Come on, it's us. And then, like, you know, she just starts fucking decking people.
Yeah.
Like, Nightshade eventually drags her up to the actual city streets to continue the fight. It's going badly. It's going really bad because, you know, it's the classic thing of when you're fighting someone who's mind-controlled, you're trying really hard not to hurt them.
Yeah.
They have no such goals in mind.
Compunctions.
They are mind controlled and they are trying to kill you.
Yeah.
And hashtag herself is fighting the fucking enemy within. She's in a fucking mind battle against Mandroid, who's hacked into her systems.
So he starts negging her.
Yeah, he's like, he's doing some fucking, this reminded me of something, but now I cannot remember what it was. But, like, this whole sequence reminded me a lot of something specific.
Yeah, I mean, it's the classic thing. I mean, it's sort of like Palpatine and Anakin.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the classic thing of evil guy in someone's head and being like, your friends all hate you. No one ever wanted you around.
You're fucking cringe.
Yeah. You know.
And this works pretty well. Hashtag is not doing a good, not having a good time.
Yeah, they do sort of get her ass with it.
So, but it's okay because we have some shit happens. You know, eventually they realize that they're not going to be able to beat hashtag in a straight up fight. That's just not happening because also hashtag begins. Good line read
from Twitch. Yeah.
Yes. Where after they bring her out of the street, hashtag starts hacking cars and throwing them at them.
See, and this is why you shouldn't have smart appliances, folks.
Yes. And Robbie, I think, is like, what's happening? And it just zooms on Twitch's face. She gets the most fed up fucking look on her face.
She's so tired.
Hashtag hacked into the fucking city's Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
Shit. I hate it here. And then she gets fucking hit by a truck. So yeah,
also, I do want to say, like, a couple things before we go on here. I lost track of where we were in my notes. Before Mandroid leaves, he starts hacking up blood.
Oh yeah, it's worse than blood. It's
goop. It's Energon.
It's some Energon goop because guess what? He's a human, and you're not supposed to do. Humans aren't built to ingest that shit.
My little note for it is, oh, baby having a little transplant rejection.
Yeah, his body is rejecting the transplant harder than anyone has ever rejected it. He's literally getting carried out by his Arachnamex.
And then
down a very conveniently placed escape tunnel that we'll get back to later.
Yeah. God bless Twitch. She's really like leading everyone.
Yeah, she has become sort of she even gets to say Multobots roll out.
Yeah. God, I always think I can't love her more, and then I do. She's so good.
So
she's simply good with it.
They're facing down mind-controlled Hashtag, who now has the power of that one GTA mod that makes all the cars go fucking apeshit and fly everywhere. So they have to deal with that, and luckily they have a strategy for this. It's called the Power of Love.
Yeah. We go together or not at all, which I will say is a line from Star Trek.
They all join hands, and the connection of the Multos begins to trigger something with the Ember Stone way back in Witwicky, which, as we remember, last time we saw it was buried in a cave, but this reawakens it, and some shit happens.
Yeah. They get new powers. Power up.
They gain the bubble shield of familial love.
Yeah.
It's like the Halo bubble shield, but like cooler and stronger because it's like your family or whatever.
And they
walk forward.
Slowly walk forward. I do want to say most people, so they're all like looking at this shield or whatever, and they all have very different reactions to
all
it.
All of the Terrans think it's sick. Mo and Robbie are like,
Yeah, Mo. Mo, I really like Mo's line here, which is, "This feels like a lot."
Yeah, it's like, I don't know what the hell is going on here. This doesn't seem regular.
Yeah.
So Hashtag, meanwhile, they
do start walking forward.
Also gets the boost and fucking purges Mandroid from her mind.
Yeah, and she's like able to fight back against his rhetoric specifically, where she's like, "You're not telling me the truth. Like, my family loves me. I know my family loves me."
Is this where she gives the theme of the episode? Is this where she tells us why it's called home?
Yeah, she's like, home isn't a place. Home is where your family is, or something along those lines.
Yeah, and Mandroid says, I'm not owned, and then he, the end of
Transforms
86 happened to him.
Yeah, he transforms, he shrinks down and slowly transforms into a corn cob.
He explodes with green light, just like Unicron did, and Hashtag is freed from the situation here. I like this where Hashtag is like apologizing and Twitch is like, no, it's not your fault. You were mind controlled.
Oh, I love her so much. Oh, God. And then they all group hug.
Yeah,
and they're all like,
Bumblebee like crawls up from the underground like, oh, hey, guys, I can't feel anything.
And Jawbreaker's like, it's cool. We took care of it.
Great. I feel like I'm dying.
As they sort of like gather to head home, Thrash is like, man, that was awesome. That was so cool. Like, what was that power? That felt amazing. And Mo literally does the like, I don't know, that's scary meme.
Yeah, the humans are like, ah.
Master, what is this power? I don't know. That's scary.
Kind of freaky. But yeah, Bumblebee is like, well, I couldn't find Grimlock. I looked around for him. I didn't see any sign of him. And you know, they basically Hashtag, I think, is the one who says like, well, he's probably just like hanging out somewhere peaceful and decompressing after being mind controlled by Mandroid.
As you do.
He just needs to chill a little bit. to kind of get himself back in gear. So
now, speaking of Mandroid.
Yeah, so everyone's like, all right, hey guys, let's go. Also, Bumblebee literally falls asleep and starts snoring.
Everyone's really concerned that he's, like, dead, but no, he's fine.
He's okay. He's just a little sneepy. And also, we see one more thing, which is Stevie from earlier.
Oh, yeah. That's
editing the graffiti that says Transformers are home.
As Sam walks through the skate park. So, you know.
What a nice ending. Anyway, let's add a few. Can we add a few crimes to Ghost's list here? Because we have several.
Yeah. So here we get into the actual meat and bones of Ghost being a villainous organization.
Meat and
bones and arms and legs.
And Energon. Mandroid is surrounded by ghost agents in his escape tunnel, and it looks like he's finally going to get caught. And then Croft walks out of the shadows, and all of the ghost agents lower their weapons, and Croft is revealed to be the person who's actually managing the bot brawl ring. Mandroid was just like a middle manager. He was just like the guy looking after it while she was doing other stuff. And she says that they will be working much together way more from now on. And she wants more mind control badges.
Well, to be fair, she's like, Mandroid, wake up, you fucked up big time.
Yeah, because he is dying a little bit, but he's fine.
Yeah. So she looks at him and she's like, God, you're pathetic.
Wow, you look fucking bad, man.
And she's like, why should I trust you with anything again when you fucked it up hugely this time? And he's basically like, well... He's like, you gotta help me. I need Energon. I'm dying, Squirtle. And she's like, and he's like, he's pleading with her. It's like, I didn't fuck it up. I made that thing. I controlled that giant dinosaur. Did you not see that? If I could do that with like one, if that was what I could do with one Transformer under my control, imagine what I could do with like a bunch of these, having mass produced them. And she eventually is like, fine. And she offers him a little bit of Energon, but keeps, like, the rest out. And she's like, this for now, the rest when you complete your work, when you get the results.
She gives him a nicotine patch.
Yeah, and he goes, okay, well, I'll need space to work. And she goes, fine. And then he goes, and I'll need test subjects. And all the lights raise up, and they are in the cell block of Ghosts. And she says, take your pick. They're all disposable.
And Hard Top is in the background going like, oh, fuck, not again.
Yeah.
Ah, shit. Okay, so, yeah, Ghost is like, yeah, let's work with Mandroid. It's a good idea.
I really hope he chooses Starscream and Starscream chats him to death.
God.
I want to see Starscream mansplain manipulate man-whore his way out of Mandroid.
So yeah, we have official confirmation that Ghost is working with Mandroid. Who knows how long their association has gone back. We know he used to work for them during the war. So whether that relationship was paused or he's been doing this the whole time is unclear.
Yeah.
But what is super clear is that Croft is bad news.
No, Croft, don't be so deeply evil. You're so sexy, haha.
Let's add illegal pit fighting, kidnapping, mind control, prisoner experimentation. Like, just let's jot down on the ghost crimes list. I have a feeling that's gonna get quite long. Quite long.
Yeah.
Well, all right, that's home part two. You know, no real Grimlock yet. We just get Rampage of Grimlock. We haven't gotten our taste of like regular old Grimlock yet.
Yeah, though know. I am glad that him showing up in the like prologue or whatever paid off.
Yeah, I think at this point all of the Autobots who appear in that little prologue have appeared.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's true.
So, we have some Questerinos here. I believe we have one on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Let me look. God, I just love Grimlock. From What Is Cosplay, Cass on Twitter. That feel when you get back to your hometown and realize it's way more racist than it was in your memory.
Yeah. I mean.
You know?
Yeah. Listen, I live in New York. There's. We're kind of known for the racism.
Wow. Yeah. She also says, Laserbeak's voice gives me the and just like the teeth, the like unpleasant grimace emoji. IMO should have been Buzzsaw, which I do agree with. What would be the worst voice to give a Cybertronian we haven't seen yet?
Gilbert Godfrey as Ironhide.
Fuck. Oh, man. Dane Cook is Ratchet.
Jesus Christ, you really went deep for that one.
I had to come up with the most repulsive fucking guy you could
cast. Had to one up Gilbert Godfrey.
One of the at least Gilbert Godfrey is like annoying.
A decent person.
Yeah, yeah, and also like is like a cool guy. Dane Cook sucks.
He's such a bad annoying. Person.
And he's not funny. So it would just be the worst. And finally from Cass here, which Terran would be best in a Home Alone situation? I think this episode proves it's fucking hashtag.
It's or Twitch.
Yeah, I think get them both together, but like, all right, here's so it's like Home Alone, but it's like in the smart house from the DCOM smart
yeah,
house.
I think this question really depends on Wi-Fi access.
Yeah, are there a lot of gadgets in the house? If so, then hashtag is undefeated.
Smart gadgets, specifically.
Do you have
yes.
to rely on one's guile, like good old Kevin McAllister did? If that's the case, probably
then it's Twitch.
Twitch.
Yeah. Though I think Nightshade would just kill them.
Yeah, Nightshade, no tricks required. They would simply murder those
They're clearly into vigilante justice, and I don't know that they have the thought that killing bad guys is bad.
We cannot let them read Watchmen. Don't let them download that PDF hashtag. Especially don't let them watch the movie hashtag. Oh God.
Oh God. All right. On Discord, pipe pipe cast pipe pipes still cast. Anyone else feel like the series is really starting to fray at the edges due to the limited amount of character models? No.
I don't really feel like that at all. I think there's, if you compare this to like Beast Wars or even Prime, like there's actually a fairly good amount of guys like,
yeah.
hanging around.
I've actually been very impressed by the sort of diversity of body shapes, both Cybertronian and human.
Like, the kind of recurring cast we have in this is fairly large. It's, you know, it's obviously not as bloated as, like, G1 is, but it's also not six guys shooting each other in a field like sometimes Armada felt like, right?
And G1 always felt like.
Well, that's 97 guys shooting each other in a field.
Right, but they're really only three guys recolored. So.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of I actually like, you know, all of the models look very good, and it doesn't feel small the way that Beast Wars and Prime feel small, where you're like, especially early Prime when fucking Jasper Nevada just has nobody in it.
Well, I think that's like the thing about it is that there's Earthspark takes place in a world clearly inhabited by other people.
Yeah.
Right, where it's like even like they go to Philadelphia. Philadelphia was an inhabited city, right? It's not like in Prime.
It's not like that one city in Cyberverse where they have a whole brawl with Grimlock and like nothing happens.
Right, exactly.
Literally everyone is in bed by 9.
It's really good of them. Okay, also from Cass. Which Decepticons do you think would willingly join Ghost? My money's on Animated Lockdown.
Technically not a Decepticon. Technically. But he definitely would. Are you kidding me?
I think Starscream would.
It depends on the Starscream.
Yeah, this one actually probably wouldn't, because he hates humans that much.
Work with humans, yeah. I feel like a lot of stars can be like, absolutely fucking not, are you kidding me? Like, to join Ghost, he would have to be not be in charge.
Yeah, I think... I haven't seen a lot of the Starscream. We obviously haven't seen a lot of the Starscream yet. I think we will in a few two episodes, I believe. Or like two of our episodes, rather. But we haven't seen a lot of this one. But this one strikes me as one of the more like prideful ones. Who, like, yeah. I don't know how much he believes in the original cause, but like does seem to genuinely believe in Decepticons as like a unit.
I've already said I think Thundercracker would join Ghost. Not in, but he wouldn't, like, I assume work with Ghost means you know what's going on like underneath the hood, right?
Yeah.
Thundercracker would not know. He would not be in on the whole situation.
I don't know. I don't necessarily interpret it that way. I think it's because if you interpret it that way, I don't think anyone in Earthspark, I don't think anyone would join Ghost.
Literally the only one who maybe would if he didn't hate humans so much is Shockwave. That's just because Shockwave was fucked up.
I don't think so. I think literally everyone hates, even not knowing what they're doing, almost everyone hates Ghost so much that it's a non-starter. Yeah. But if anyone knew like the reality of it, none of them would. So I would assume that we're talking about not knowing.
I mean, yeah, Lockdown definitely would. Because he works for everybody. I don't really know of any other Decepticons who would like work with them. Like I said, Thundercracker is always my pick for this because I think it would be interesting.
Yeah, again, I think like what we've seen from a lot of these former Decepticons is that they have their like pride as people.
G1 Swindle would work for Ghost.
Yeah, he's
that dude literally sold his buddies for parts.
Yeah,
literally.
Fun guy. Okay, in the AU where Terrans were Cybertronian, which factions do you think they'd be? I think they'd probably all be Autobots.
Twitch is a Decepticon.
You think so?
I think so.
But she has such a like strong sense of justice.
That's true. Well, it depends on what stage of Decepticon you're at, right? And what interpretation of the Decepticons you're running with. I think
she's a Decepticon. Yeah, if you're talking about the Autobots while they're still a police state, then none of them would be Autobots.
Thrash is unaffiliated. The rest of them are Autobots.
Yeah, that's fair. Okay, Nero from Disney Minus, Vera asks, would Grimlock date Dinobot? No, they would hate each other.
Too prideful.
Yeah.
Wait, I mean, they would hate fuck, probably.
Yes, that is different than dating, though.
They would not date. They would, it's just all arguments that turn into fist fights all the time.
Yeah. If you could give the ability to breathe fire to any fictional character or real life person, who would it be and why? I mean, immediately I would say Twitch because she deserves it.
I think, yeah, let her cook.
Outside of that, Megan Thee Stallion.
for the same reason, she deserves it.
Yeah, she doesn't. Yeah, no. It's simply people I think deserve it.
That's right.
And finally, oh yeah, sorry.
Oh, I know. I like this question. Question from Veer.
If Grimlock was allowed to just straight up eat someone in Earthspark, who would be the best/funniest option? I mean, Mandroid.
The best option is obviously like Mandroid or Croft because that would remove them from the planet. The funniest option is definitely Schloeder.
I think the funniest option is actually Megatron.
Won't even work. You'd have to really chew. They're like equal size. You gotta work that down.
I mean, Grimlock has beaten Megatron before. I think he'd be up to the task.
I believe in him. I'd put my money on him.
Yeah. Slipstream Sam asks, which Multibots are ready to go one-on-one with the Undertaker, playa?
One-on-one with the Undertaker! None of them. Sorry, they're all getting fucking 3-minute squash matches. Maybe hashtag could do something.
Maybe hashtag.
They are not ready to go one-on-one with the Undertaker. I'm sorry.
Also, who would get the most excited at the idea of hitting a Stone Cold Stunner in actual combat?
Thrash, 100%.
Yeah.
Because we know that Thrash and Mo watch wrestling.
I was going to say, it was either him or Jawbreaker.
Yeah. I feel like Jawbreaker is not a Stone Cold guy, because Stone Cold is like, he's an anti-hero. He's too aggressive.
And this is not a question about would they be excited about seeing Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Would they like to do the stunner, I think. But I think Thrash's excitement level is so over the moon. Like, yeah. Jawbreaker would be hype. Thrash would literally transcend to another level.
He would,
like, fucking reach Nirvana if he did that.
Sidewinder Sabrina asks, where can you get a real slice?
Let me tell you, there's some great Philadelphia accents in this episode you forgot to mention. Like, all of the human side characters, pretty much.
Yeah.
Except for Sam, have, like, what's you's doing?
Go birds.
Go birds. City of brotherly love.
You can get it in New York, for the record.
Yeah, Philadelphia has a very famous food thing already.
Yeah.
It's not pizza.
And cheesesteaks are so good, too.
They're so good. Do you want a fucking bread filled with just hot meat and cheese and plants sometimes? Get it.
It's good. Get it. Okay. She also asks, who would you pick as the best Cybertronian co-commentator for wrestling, as well as other major sports, Cybertronian or otherwise? I mean, Bumblebee.
Not Laserbeak.
Bumblebee.
I'm off put by this Laserbeak. Which version of Bumblebee? This one?
Yeah, this one. I'm going to keep it to Earthspark.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I just imagined RC on commentary.
You're so right. I fucked up. You're so right. It's RC.
See, because like she would be like color commentary, because there's always a thing where, like, you have one commentator who's like calling the match and like knows stuff, and then you have commentator who exists to go, that was fucking awesome.
RC and Alita co-hosting.
Fuck.
Yes.
Outstanding.
All right. Who on the cast could 1v1 Grimlock in a no-holds-barred ladder match? Maybe Megatron.
Megatron is literally the only answer for that. Like, everyone else would need help. Megatron is roughly as big and roughly as fucking badass, and that's still like a 50-50.
Yeah. I would say less than that. I would say it's a 40-60. And
depends on how mad Grimlock is.
And then, did you ever have a moment in your life that made you change your view of where you grew up, big city or otherwise? I mean, not to be like a parody of myself, but 9/11. Listen, if you're a New Yorker who was there during 9/11, like, that was just like, I can't, like, explain enough how that affected the collective consciousness. And even though I was only 10 years old, the idea of, like, that kind of terrorist attack on American soil was, like, truly unheard of, and felt very deeply by New Yorkers.
I guess for me, it's just, like, moving away for the first time. Because I lived somewhere when I was very young, and then I moved to a place and lived there until I was, like, 22.
Yeah.
And so it's just like, oh yeah, this is just default. And then you move away from it, and then you start to think about, like, the idiosyncrasies and the other stuff and, like, the context of it. You just can't, like, get if you're just sitting there, you know?
That is actually a good example as well, because it took me going to college going to college in the Twin Cities to, like, be like, oh, is this what people think a city is?
Right.
As opposed to, like, New York. I'm like, this isn't a city. This is a suburb.
This is fucking...
But no. Like, it's largest cities in Minnesota, so...
They don't got cities over there.
Well, they got two of them.
You get two.
Okay, the last question from Sabrina here is, with the use of hashtags Wi-Fi ability in the latter episode, I would like to again posit my theory that it's an outlier ability, or at least something greater than what we first established in our first episode, seeing as it has been shown to be able to control non-ghost electronic equipment. Oh, absolutely. That's
true. Yeah, because, like, there's no ghost shit here, right?
Yeah.
Like, unless ghost's influence is vastly greater than what we have been led to believe. There's no ghost shit in Philly.
Yeah. No, 100%.
It is an outlier ability. It's just that she's uniquely positioned to be good at hacking ghost shit.
She is quite literally terminally online.
She is.
Aurora Spark asks, what's your pitch for an ill-advised theme park / monument to man's hubris?
Let's just do Jurassic Park for real. But none of none of that fucking pussy-ass cage shit. This is just a drive-through safari. You know, like those drive-through safaris they have in fucking Oklahoma where you drive up and there's a lion there?
What if you
feed a fucking hunk of pig to a T-Rex for real?
Watch your fingers.
And hand and arm and torso, you know.
I'm trying to think of, like, genuinely funny answers.
If you pay me $50 extra, I'll let you ride the Iguanodon.
I don't know. Like, some sort of, like, underwater shit. That's like...
What the hell? What? Elaborate, please.
Like, imagine like a theme park that like took place several thousand miles.
Okay.
Like, underwater.
Atlantis.
I mean, I'm just making a BioShock at this point, but...
Yeah, you are making What If Rapture Was Disney World.
Yeah, but like, What If Rapture Was Disney World?
Is a man not entitled to the sweat on his brow? No, says the mouse. It belongs to the company.
Stuff underwater is just always a bad idea.
Never a good idea.
And, like, people think it's so cool, but it's never a good idea. That's my monument to man's hubris.
Number one problem with water. Water, best thing at eroding shit. It's literally the best to ever do it. Number two, salt water specifically... corrosive as fuck.
Best to ever do it.
So, like, you build that shit under the ocean, it's you will become a future undersea ruin for archaeologists to look over.
Yeah. With the and then finally from Ruby Road Rage Ruby, should Grimlock take a side gig as the new Truckosaurus?
He's pretty good at it.
Yeah. I mean, and, if it actually pays him anything.
Yeah, I don't think he was getting paid for this one, unfortunately.
I think we can say that fairly confidently.
My Truckosaurus has unionized.
My Truckosaurus M 4 million.
Is demanding a pay raise. Which is weird, because I don't pay him. I mind control him, and yet he's still asking for a pay raise.
That's it from us this week. We've been Prime Cuts. You can follow us on Twitter at Prime Cuts Pod. We'll probably make socials elsewhere soon. Or find us on noisepace.xyz with a bunch of other really good shows. You can join our Discord to do some fun stuff with us and also ask questions in our Comlink channel. I'm Audrey.
Streaming Rise of the Beast after this season wraps up.
Yeah. I'm Audrey. You can find me on Tumblr, Twitter, co-host, and Blue Sky at Optimum Prime. That's my funny robot internet joke. You can listen to the other podcast I do. It's called Pot of Greed. It's about Yu-Gi-Oh! And I've been cast in a radio drama that I hopefully will have more information about soon. And you know what? Fuck it. I plugged it on Pot of Greed. I might as well plug it here. If you're into Dungeon Meshy, I posted some porn about it. You can find that on all my socials. It's on AO3.
Give kudos. I'm Nero. You can find me on Twitter at DragonSmoocher, on Tumblr at Cyclones with a 5 at the end, and on co-host at DragonSnuggler. You can also find my other podcasts on co-host, Pretty Free Heidlin and Talk Cycles. First one is a Final Fantasy 14 podcast and weekly streams every Wednesday. And the other one is a monthly Western animation podcast doing Teen Titans Season 3, Brother Blood, Victor Stone, all that shit. You know what it is. And yeah, did we already plug noisepace.xyz?
Yeah, I sure did.
Well, in that case, I am going to slam two cans of fucking Budweiser Energon and hit a Stone Cold Stunner on Brawl, Transform, and Roll Out.
I am going to tourniquet my arm in preparation for being exsanguinated, Transform, and Roll Out.
Peach.
Peach.